pray and ask God's blessing on His Word. Father, thank You for every person here, watching here in this place. I thank You have a plan and a purpose for every person. Right from the day that they were born, You had a plan for us. And I pray that this plan would become way more evident as we spend time in God's Word this month. And today, Father, I pray that today we would hear truth that challenges us and changes us so that we live differently and more according to Your Word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. I want to talk to you this morning, but first of all, I want to say this. One of the primary purposes as a pastor of a church, of a pastor, is to be leading God's people like a shepherd leads his sheep, right? And one of the primary ways that we do this is through preaching through the Word of God, but not just any word, through the Rhema Word of God. Now, the Rhema Word is God's Scripture come alive so that it's the now word. It's the word for today. It's the word for you. It's the word that's relevant for our living in that time, in the very moment of time we're living in. So this is the word that I want to, that we need to give you. So my responsibility is to help prepare you through God's word to help you live God's way, right? But not only that, my role and my responsibility this morning is to help prepare you for that great day when you will stand before Almighty God in heaven, the one whose eyes are like blazing fire and on whose head are many crowns. And Revelation 19 says, and on his robe and thigh are written, what is written on his robe and thigh? King of kings and Lord of lords. I'm trying to prepare you for that great day. And let me say this. That day will either be the most thrilling day of your life so far, or it could be the most terrifying day. Depending on how you live your life on earth, what you did with Jesus, and what you did with His Word. And that's why here, in this pulpit in City Light, we want to preach God's Word.
That's right.
We want to preach the whole counsel of the Word. Not just what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. Amen? Big difference. My message today could actually have two titles. I could title it easily, The Thrill of the Finish, or What to Expect on Payday. Either one of those. You know, I love the Summer Olympics. I love, you know, the Summer Olympics, the time when the best athletes in the world come together to compete, to fulfill their goals, to fulfill their dreams, to win the prize, that medal of achievement and recognition. You know, and I love, I especially love the track and field. You know, I love the races. I love the speed. Sorry, just spit there. It's going so fast. I love the speed. I love the endurance. And I love the finish line. Can I say to you this morning? For Christians, heaven is the finish line of your life here on earth. And Paul talks all about the finish line. And it talks about our life here on earth to be like a race, a marathon, not a sprint. Philippians 3:14, I press on to reach the end of the race. Notice he didn't say I press on to run the race, no. He says I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize. And to receive what? The heavenly prize. I press on to reach the end. Why? Because there's a heavenly prize, there's a reward for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. If you're a sprinter, sprinters cannot relate to the thrill of the finish line like marathoners can. You just can't relate to the thrill of a marathon unless you're a marathoner, right? In the same way, you can't relate to the thrill of heaven, the finish line of earth, unless you're a believer in Jesus Christ. But even for believers, sometimes the thrill of the finish line gets kind of fuzzy, gets kind of vague. You know, maybe you're someone who came here this morning and you've been struggling with pain and disappointment because things in your life haven't gone that well. Or maybe you feel like you're one of those weary marathoners and you're right in the middle of the race. You're at mile 13 and you're wondering, how in the world did I get myself into this? Or maybe you're wondering, what satisfaction could that finish line possibly hold for me sitting at mile 13? What would be, would it really be, is it really worth running the 13 more agonizing miles of my life? Today I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you today that there's a thrill at the finish line, that there is a payday, and there's a payday for every believer who puts their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? So don't get weary and don't give up, because the prize, it goes to the finishers. The finishers. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Paul says, isn't it obvious that all runners on the racetrack keep on running to win, but only one receives the victor's prize? In those games, those ischus days, in those times, the Greeks, they ran. There was only one prize, only one wreath, one laurel. Everybody else was the loser. But what is Paul saying? No. He says, yet each one of you must run the race to be victorious. Everyone of us can be victorious. True story. This is about a guy named Eamon Coughlin, number 694. This guy, in 1987, that's the date on it, March of 6, 1987, Eamon Coughlin was the Irish Olympic world record holder for the 1500 meters. And he was running a qualifying heat for the Olympics at the World Indoor Track Championships in Indianapolis. There was 2.5 laps to go when he got tripped up. His leg got tripped. He fell to the ground. 2.5 laps left to go. But he got up, and with great effort, he caught the leaders of the pack. He was in third place with 20 yards to go, enough to win, to get to qualify for the final heat. But at 20 yards, he looked to the inside and he saw no one beside him. So he let down. So he let up just a little bit. But while he was doing that, a guy on the outside was charging hard, and he passed Coughlin 1 yard before the finish line. Wow! And which literally meant that this great comeback effort by Coughlin was virtually useless, thus eliminating him from the finals. You know what? It's the same for us. We finish well the Christian race only when we keep our eyes fixed on the goal, Jesus Christ. He's the goal. Question on your PowerPoint: does our earthly lives affect our heavenly reward? Does it? Read your Bible. Bible shows that our faithfulness to God here on earth makes a huge difference to heaven. The answer to that question, the answer is this: what we do in this life absolutely matters for all eternity. There's a thrill at the finish line, and there's a payday. So the question is this: what can we expect on payday? What are the rewards? What are these rewards that make it worth running the race, no matter how, if the race is really tough? What makes it worth running? So today, I'm just going to give you three, but they are three outstanding rewards for those who run the race. Are you ready for this? Number one, God will reward us with His personal praise. God will reward us with His personal praise. We can, and over our lifetime, we can spend a lot of time in front of God, giving Him the praise and the thanks and the worship that He so well deserves. Amen? For all the things that He does and is for us. Right? But when we get to heaven, something's going to be different. God is going to be the one giving us praise for all the things we did for Him while we were here on earth. Do you know that? 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait until the Lord comes. He will bring to light," and this is kind of scary, "He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of the heart. And at that time, each will receive" what? "Their praise from God." In other words, God's praise, God's condemnation, is not going to be like some Hallmark greeting card with generic words on it, where God just signs His signature, puts it in an envelope, and He hands it to you. No! His praise, His condemnation is going to be very personal. He is going to speak personal words to you, well-crafted words of encouragement, words with these words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen? And these words from God, from the God who shouts and mountains quake, the one who speaks and worlds are formed. When we hear these words from His lips, it will thrill you to the core like no other words you have ever heard before. Amen? These are character words. I call them the character words because they speak of your character. They speak of your character and your uprightness. And they reflect the qualities of a true believer in Christ who has served God and served Jesus to help Him advance the kingdom on earth. You know, I believe that today there's a danger and a delusion of no expectation. So many believers, I think that that they will never have to be accountable for their life here on earth. But what does 2 Corinthians say? 2 Corinthians 5:10, the Passion version says this: "For one day we will all be openly revealed before Christ on His throne," that is His judgment seat, "so that each of us will be duly recompensed," that means rewarded, "for our actions done in life, whether good or worthless." The Passion Version commentary sees this: "As believers, we will never be judged for our sins, because judgment for our sins fell upon Christ on the cross." That's the grace of God. No matter what you've done, no matter what sin you've committed, past, present, and even in the future, if you repent and you ask for forgiveness, bam, they're gone. Amen. Paid for by the blood. Gone. No judgment for our sins. They fell upon Christ on the cross. But this judgment He's talking about, this scripture, this scrutinizing, you know what it's for? It's for rewards. He's talking about rewards. There will be different levels of reward given to believers after death. But for some, there will be no reward. They will be saved. It's like they got in by the skin of their teeth. The Bible puts such a great emphasis on rewards in heaven. You know, I say, you know, just, I can give you so many scriptures that talk about the way we live here is rewarded. You know, just read this afternoon. Grab your Bibles and open it to Matthew chapter 25. Read the parable that Jesus told about the sheep and the goats. It's a story all about what we do on here on earth, how it's going to affect our lives in heaven and the blessings of God. And it's a powerful message. And it's a warning. But you know, the warning isn't to make you terrified or scared. The warning is to help you, because it's a warning of love. Amen? You know, we read the Word of God, and you never have to be afraid of what the Word is saying, because it's there for your own benefit and blessing. God rewards our faithfulness here on earth. You talk about, here's an instance, the queen, you know, the queen, they see that the Queen Elizabeth, on her birthday, on her official birthday, always selects a few people and honors them on her birthday. And a few years back, one of these people was a 60-year-old postman from Northern Wales. His last name was Jones. And Jones came from a family line that had been delivering Welsh mail for over 150 years. Well, here's this guy named Jones, and he had been delivering the mail for 43 years, and he never missed a single day, through rain, through sleet, through snow, through whatever condition. He was always there doing his task. And so the Queen bestowed on him the British Empire Medal upon him, expressing the gratitude of the nation. Okay, here's the point. If this earthly queen bestowed such a great honor on a man for his faithfulness, for doing such a simple task as delivering the mail, don't you think that the King of Heaven will be even more diligent in providing and rewarding all our efforts of faithfulness on earth? Yeah. The answer is absolutely, no question about it. God will reward us with His praise, and it will thrill you to the core. You will not want to hear those words on Judgment Day. Amen? Amen. Not only that, number two, God will reward us with responsibility. Some would say, well, I don't want to be responsible. No, you want responsibility. On your PowerPoint, you can expect promotion on payday. Are you excited about that? Promotion on payday. Luke chapter 19 is a story about investment. We'll look at that. Next slide. It's a story about investment, and it's a story about promotion. It's also a story about financial responsibility, financial stewardship. It's also called the parable of the talents. And the parable of the talents, scholars say, is this. It's an end time picture. It's an end time picture of a future reality, of the future reality. In other words, it's a picture of what we're going to have to be, what we're going to be, what's going to happen to us. We are going to be standing before the King of Kings. Now, in the story, I'll just go back to that story, that picture again. So here's the ruler. This guy, he's a well-known nobleman, and he's just been called to be crowned king in a foreign empire. So he gets ready to leave, but before he does, he calls not just three, but actually in this story, he calls 10 of his servants, and he divides among them 10 pounds of silver. He gets each one 10 pounds before he goes, and he tells each one, now I want you to invest this money and get a return from me. So he goes away, he's crowned king, he comes back, he calls his servants in, and he wants to know about the profits that they made. So the first guy, servant, comes in and says, Master, he says, I invested your money, and I made 10 times the original amount. And the master's words, first two words that came out of his mouth, well done, well done. You are a good servant. You've been faithful with the little that you invested with. So therefore, I'm going to make you ruler, governor over 10 cities as your reward. The next second guy comes in saying, Master, I took your money, I invested it, and I made 5 times the original amount. And the master says, well done, servant. take charge of five cities. We'll pick it up in verse 20. A third guy comes in. It says, but the third servant brought back only the original amount of money and said, Master, I hid your money and I kept it safe. It does not pay to play it safe in life. I was afraid because you are a hard man to deal with, taking what isn't yours and harvesting crops you didn't plant. Here's the king's response. You wicked servant, the king roared. Your own words condemn you. If you knew that I am a hard man who takes what isn't mine and harvests crops I didn't plant, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. I don't know if that's possible today yet. You usually lose money if you leave it in the banks. Then turning to the others standing nearby, the king ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. But master, they said, he already has 10 pounds. Yes, the king replied, and to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Three very obvious things on your PowerPoint. Number one, the responsibility that God gives us in heaven will depend on our faithfulness here on earth. That's obvious. Number two, the responsibility he gives us will logically flow out of our actions here. Obviously. And number three, obviously, there will be a call to account for the life he gave us here on earth. Wow. Do you think God really means it? See, and your next point. In heaven, we will see the expansion of human activity. Revelation chapter 21, verse 24 says, the nations will walk in its light. The kings of the world will enter the city in all their glory. He's talking about the end time. So when we look at that scripture, we see in there that scripture is hinting that there will be cultural and political activities happening in heaven. That scripture says the kings of the world will enter heaven, the new Jerusalem, the heavenly city. So who's he talking about when he's talking about kings? Is he talking about our prime minister? I don't think so. Is he talking about presidents? No. So who's he talking about? Who are the kings? We are the kings. We are called to rule and to reign with Christ. Revelation 1 verse 5 says, all glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by the shedding of his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father, and all glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. We are the kings. We are called to rule. We will be ruling and reigning with God in the heavenly kingdom. And the Bible also talks about crowns that God's people will receive one day. James chapter 1 verse 12. I'm just going to take you right to the word. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. What are crowns? What do crowns represent? You know what they represent? They represent honor. They represent authority. They represent responsibility. And they represent promotion. Heaven will not be a boring place. Heaven will be a place of great activity. So many things to do in heaven. I love what the former British Prime Minister Lloyd George once said. Listen to this. He once said, when I was a boy, the thought of heaven used to frighten me more than the thought of hell. I pictured heaven as a place where time would be perpetual Sundays with perpetual services from which there would be no break. It was a horrible nightmare and made me an atheist for 10 years. Isn't that funny? Listen, what you're doing here right now is preparing you for your sphere of rule in the kingdom to come. God is preparing you. If you're faithful in small things, God is going to put you in charge of many things up there. Amen? And one more. I want to give you just one more. And the third outstanding reward, and this one is the pièce de résistance. Is that what the French say? It's the cream of the crop. It is the reward above all rewards that you could ever get. It is outstanding. It will be the most satisfying. And here's what it is. God will reward you with his personal fellowship. An unimpeded relationship with God will be the most satisfying of all the rewards. And it was David who said, and David expresses that, the man with a heart after God. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, the one thing I asked of the Lord, the thing I seek the most, is to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life until eternity, delighting in the Lord's perfection and meditating in his temple. Wow. That is the epitome of all rewards that we should be going for. And listen, all Christians are going to enjoy fellowship with God in heaven. But we will be doing it in different degrees and in different measures. Our experience with God on earth will affect our capacity for enjoying his fellowship in heaven. Jonathan Edwards is a famous revivalist out of the 1700s. And Jonathan Edwards said that in heaven, we're all going to be like vessels of varying size. Each one will be filled to overflowing with the joy and the presence of God. But some of us are going to be able to enjoy more of God's presence. In other words, he's saying some of us are going to be like super tankers and some of us are going to be like salt shakers. Now, let me say this. If this truly is the greatest reward, the most outstanding of all rewards that we could ever receive, then shouldn't we be doing something right now? Shouldn't we? We need to be expanding our capacities. If we're going to enjoy his presence up there, we better start enjoying his presence down here. Amen? So the question is, how do we do that? How do we do this? Here's how to do it. By spending time with God. By spending time in his word. By talking to him. Establishing a relationship with him. You know, communicating with him in prayer. And by worship. Right? And it's, you know, it's getting heart to heart with God. Spirit to spirit. The Bible says in Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride say what? Say, come, come, come. Because now is the time to worship. Now is the time to give your heart. Amen? Now is the time to get before the Lord. And those words are powerful words. And the words of a worship song. You know who wrote that? Who wrote that song? Holy Spirit wrote it through Brian Dirksen. Now is the time. Come. Come just as you are to worship. Come just as you are before God. Come. One day, every tongue will confess you are God. One day, every knee will bow. Still, the greatest treasure remains for those who gladly choose you now. Now is the time. Amen. Now is the time. All these, and there are all kinds of other things that God has given us to do for him, like serving and like giving and about caring about other people, like mourning for our sins, like fasting and praying, like bearing under great injustice, like taking risks for God, like giving generously, right? And to speaking up for God at various times, telling people others about Him and His kingdom. There are so many things that we can do. And these things, I'd say they are flesh-denying activities. And at the same time, they are soul-expanding activities, right? I liken it to physical fitness, exercise. I don't like the idea of doing it. But after I've done it, I love the feeling and the benefits that I gain. And I want more. See? So it's kind of like the same way. I acquire a taste for exercise. And the bottom line is heaven is the same way. We acquire a taste for heaven while we're still here on earth. Amen? So, but we need to get ready for it now. Heaven is other people. Heaven is about community. Heaven is about multitudes of people. Heaven is about His church. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, the Apostle John said, "After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation and tribe and people and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb." I say the greatest gift that God has given us, apart from His Son, Jesus, salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ, is His church. The church is His house, it's His home, it's His family, right? And it means so much to Him. And the church is even more important. Even more important. Don't get mad at me. I believe this is what the Word is saying. Is even important than your natural family. Even more important than your natural family. What Jesus is coming back for is His church. He's not coming back for the individual. Jesus' focus, His greater focus, was on the family of God and not His own biological family. There was a time when Jesus was preaching to a bunch of people, and someone said, Hey, Jesus, your brother, your mother, your sister, and your brothers, you know, looking for you. They want you to go and meet with them. And Jesus, you know what Jesus said? He said, your family's looking for you. Jesus said, who's my family? He says, who is my brother, my brothers, my mother, my brother, my sisters? Who are they? He says, you are. Those who do the will of my Father in heaven. Sometimes we get our priorities way off, thinking that our family is more important than the church. Family is really important, but it doesn't come before the family of God. You might disagree with me, but I believe that's what the Word is saying. I want to finish with just one story, and this is a bit of a longer story. I've told this story before. It's a fantastic story. I love this story. So listen very carefully, okay? This story is about an old missionary couple. I want to read it to you because it's a long one. It's not really long, but it has some good details in it. There was an old missionary couple who'd been working in Africa for years, and they were returning to New York City to retire. They had no pension. Their health was broken. They were defeated, discouraged, and afraid. They discovered that they were booked on the same ship as President Teddy Roosevelt, who was returning from one of his big-time, big-game hunting expeditions. No one paid any attention to them. They watched the fanfare that accompanied the president's entourage with passengers trying to get a glimpse of the great man. As the ship moved across the ocean, the old missionary said to his wife, "Something is wrong. Why should we have given our lives in faithful service for God in Africa all these years and have no one care a thing about us? Here this man comes back from a hunting trip and everyone makes much over him, but nobody gives two hoots about us." "Dear, you shouldn't feel that way," his wife said. "I can't help it. It doesn't seem right." When the ship docked in New York, a band was waiting to greet the president. The mayor and other dignitaries were there. The papers were full of the president's arrival. But no one noticed this missionary couple. They slipped off the ship and found a cheap flat on the east side, hoping the next day to see what they could do to make a living in the city. That night, the man's spirit broke. And he said to his wife, I can't take this. God's not treating us fairly. And his wife replied, why don't you go into the bedroom and tell that to the Lord? A short time later, he came out of the bedroom, but now his face was completely different. His wife asked, dear, what happened? The Lord settled it with me, he said. I told him how bitter I was that the president should receive this tremendous homecoming when no one met us as we were returning home. And when I finished, it seemed as though God put his hand on my shoulder and simply said, but you're not home yet. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Yes, there were rewards for our faithfulness, right? But not necessarily down here. You know, and that truth alone should challenge us and change the way that we live right now. Can you say amen to that? Amen. 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 Bow your heads. There's a finish line of life on earth. The question is, are you headed there now? Are you headed there now? Today, you could be watching or you could be here in person. You can make the greatest decision of your life, and that's to receive Christ into your heart. Today, heaven can be the final destination, your final destination. And the Bible tells us clearly that there's only one way to God. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Today and now, you can receive eternal life. You can see the gift of a relationship with God. You receive the gift of a brand new start here on earth simply by saying this simple prayer, but you mean it with all your heart. If you do that, I promise you, He will give you eternal life, gift of heaven, a brand new start, and the power to overcome every situation that you're going through. Amen? So if that's you, you haven't received Christ into your heart, whether you're watching, whether you're here, will you say these words after me? Powerful words. Repeat these words. Lord Jesus Christ, I believe that you suffered on the cross and shed your blood for me. And I believe on the third day you rose from the grave. Please forgive me for every sin that I have committed. Today and now, Lord Jesus, I invite you into my heart to be Lord and Savior of my life forever. In Jesus' name I ask and I pray. Amen and amen.